Hi, I'm Larry Mess Reynolds with Fox NASCAR, and you're listening to On the Road with Dane Neal, WGN Radio.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane here on Michigan Avenue. Honored to have on one of the greatest NASCAR crew chiefs of all time, helping legends win races, championships, and Daytona 500s. These days, we're getting to enjoy his work as a columnist for FoxSports.com, and of course, his great race day analysis on the Fox TV for the NASCAR Monster Energy Series. The one and only Larry McReynolds joins us. Larry, welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's an honor to have you on. I mean, you are one of the great personalities of the sport. When you look at the street cred, no pun intended, that you have as a great crew chief and so many things you've been a part of, it's exciting for listeners to be able to hear a little behind the scenes thought process as far as what you have. So we'll get right into the whole stage racing thing. We know we've done a bunch of interviews about it. We know it's convenient for TV. It's great for fans, the drivers, you know, there's a little bit of a learning curve. But as a crew chief from that perspective, having to kind of plan for just a whole different scenario, maybe three separate races, do you see it as an advantage that kind of lends to the talent of the team if they've got it? Or do you see it as more of an imposition, kind of building in a new way of doing things?
Well, obviously, it puts a lot on the shoulders of these drivers out there, because they know as we close in at the end of those first two stages that there's a lot on the line. You know, if you win the stage, you get a playoff point to put into your playoff point bucket for when the playoffs start in mid-September. But also, as far as regular season points, you know, the winner of the stage gets 10 points, and the top 10 finishers in each stage, they all get points. And so what I like about what we've done this year with the format and with the way the points are paid, not that these guys or girls needed more incentive to race hard, but it gives them incentive to race hard in the early part of the race, the middle portion of the race, and obviously it's not changed the end of the race. You look at Bristol this week, you know, a short track, 500 laps, and a lap goes by there in a hurry, like in about 15 or 16 seconds.
Right.
The first stage is 125 laps. That's pretty quick. Second stage is 125, and then the final stage to end the race is 250. The other thing that I've seen, a couple other things I've seen ramp up by, is what we are seeing the crew chiefs go through as far as strategy. Todd Gordon, Joey Logano's crew chief, of course, they've not won this year, but I heard him the other day in an interview. He said, you know, as far as our race team's performance and where we finished with a lot of top fives and a lot of top tens, I give our race team an A. But he says, as far as our strategy and the way we work the stages, I'm probably going to give myself about a C or a C-. So it's definitely ramped up strategy. And the other thing, you look at Bristol, with that first stage being pretty short, there's a lot of premium being put on qualifying, because starting up front
right.
puts you in a good position to try to keep that track position throughout that first stage. So it's definitely changed the complexity of racing. We still don't forget, it's still a race. There's still a winner. He's still going to get a trophy and celebrate in victory lane with his team. But after seven races, I can absolutely see nothing that is wrong with this stage racing across the board.
Yeah, it really does. It makes all parts of the race really fun. I think from the fan perspective, you know, from the media side too, it just makes the whole thing more exciting. And you mentioned it too, you know, for those drivers there can have little mini victories in there that kind of keep you motivated, keep you inspired, keep you going in what can be a really long day. On the broadcasting side, as you guys are getting in there, not only do you have to, you know, have an entertaining broadcast and say what's going on, but do you feel, and this maybe lend to some of your talent that you use as a crew chief, where you're kind of on the fly explaining and teaching the driver what he needs to do in a race. Do you feel that? And have you guys all talked about the responsibility to kind of, through the flow of the show, to educate, you know, the viewers as to what's going on?
Well, that's the great thing and the luxury I have about the role that I play now. Of course, my role changed last year when Jeff Gordon came on board with our broadcast team, who has added a ton to the last year and a fourth that he's been a part of it. You know, it became my job last year to really dive into strategy, and I think with what's going on with this stage racing this year, there's a lot of times I leave that broadcast booth and I feel as mentally drained as I'm sure some of the crew chiefs do on pit road, because I'm not just looking at the strategy of one team, I'm looking at the strategy of all 40 teams that are out there, and we have definitely seen some interesting strategy, some that's worked for some race teams and some that did not work. Because you're trying to keep that balance. You know, you don't want to lose sight of the fact you're there to win the race. Ultimately, that's what they're all there for, but you're also trying to accomplish as much as you can and finish as high as you can, possibly even win those first two stages.
Yeah, and you'll see, too, as the teams kind of get in this over the next year or so and kind of dive into it and then really work on that strategy, not only for the teams themselves and the drivers, but also for that specific racetrack. I think it's going to be fun to watch. Yeah, you're going to have a lot more exhausting times. You've mentioned Bristol. We've talked about it on this show that as much as the drivers are stars, the tracks are almost as big as stars in racing. And so as a crew chief, you know, with the team, obviously it's fun for the broadcast team to be there. But when you would bring teams in there, you know, were you excited about it? Certainly people are excited if they've had some success there. But were you excited because it's just such a cool venue, right? And the fans are amped up. It's just such a big race.
It's funny you mention that because I'm working on my notes as we speak for the race weekend. And one of the things I've written down is just what a unique venue that it is. There's no other short track in the world like it. Yeah, it's a half-mile short track, and there's half-mile short tracks all over the world, but none that has a concrete surface, that has the banking that place has, and that the speeds are as high as they are. You know, these guys are running around that, as I mentioned a while ago, a half-mile racetrack in 15, sometimes qualifying under 15 seconds. And, there's nothing like it. I read something earlier this week where the Bristol Motor Speedway is, I think, the fourth largest sporting venue in the United States and the eighth largest sporting venue in the world. It's a half-mile racetrack.
Wow.
And it holds almost 160,000 people. And I know a lot of people, they want to write about, there'll be some empty seats there on Sunday, and there probably will be this Sunday, as we've seen with a lot of not just NASCAR racing, but all sporting events. But there's still going to be probably over 100,000 people in that venue. They always do stuff that are unique there. Last year, after the August race in September, the people at Bristol Motor Speedway, Jerry Caldwell, Bruton and Marcus Smith, they had a football game in the infield. The University of Tennessee played Virginia Tech, and it blew the record out of the water of people attending a football game. Almost 170,000 people there, including what the suites were holding.
You know, I love to hear that, Larry, and let the listeners know, and just remind them we're talking with Fox Sports and Fox TV's Larry McReynolds, one of the greatest NASCAR crew chiefs of all time. Like here in Chicago, we've seen that where, you know, the Cubs play at Wrigley Field, where they're utilizing those venues. Baseball gets a lot of use. It isn't like football or even racing a couple times a year, where they're utilizing for all sorts of different things, concerts and events. I love that idea, and hopefully other racetracks around the country are able to kind of start doing some of those. But when you have an iconic venue like Bristol, why not use it more? I'm sure it's an incredible draw.
Well, it is. And, you know, it would kind of be, I won't say it would be impossible. We go to 23 different tracks, and it might be a little complicated for those other 22 to put a football game in the infield. But because of the way Bristol is built, the way the grandstands are up, and it completely encircles two levels around that half-mile racetrack, I'm sure it was a major undertaking because for years, the scoreboard was right in the middle of the infield. Well, they had to do away with that, and that's when they, a year ago, introduced Colossus, which is that big four-sided video screen that was hung from cables outside the racetrack in four corners. And it was such a big hit that they just loaned it recently to the stadium there in Glendale, Arizona, where the Final Four was played. And it's quite a place. I tell people all the time, if you can get there, we certainly enjoy you watching the broadcast this weekend, Sunday on Fox. But if you can get there, it's an experience just to watch those 40 drivers go around that half-mile racetrack, because it's not long into a run. It looks like a conveyor belt of race cars around that half-mile racetrack.
Yeah, each track is unique and totally different at Bristol than it might be at Indianapolis or here at Chicagoland. Larry, hold tight. We're going to be back with you after the break, and we're going to hear Larry's thought process from the crew chief perspective, and then, of course, from the fan perspective, and just from the area, those different communities, as NASCAR travels across the country. We'll get back with him as soon as we come back from this break, so hold tight. It's Dane on the road on 720 WGN.
Hi, everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN.
It's 720 WGN on the road with Dane here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And again, 312-981-7200. Everybody who texts in or calls in, and we've got a number of them, we'll have Lise kind of coordinate and print those out, is going to be entered to win our Indy 500 tickets May 13th. We're going to go ahead and announce that and give those away to a lucky listener. On the line with us is we've got NASCAR crew chief. He's one of the best ever, one of the greatest crew chiefs of all time, and you love his insights on Fox during the Monster Energy Cup Series for NASCAR. And then when we went to the break, we talked a little bit about some of the venues. And Larry, you get to travel around the country. You get to go to all these different places from a crew chief perspective. Obviously excited about the venues, the tracks where you're going to have some success. But, you know, you get to experience a lot of the different things in those areas when it comes to the different tracks.
Well, people ask me what's my favorite track, and I have the same mentality as I did when I crew chief. My favorite track is the next track we're going to. I felt like if that was not my attitude, especially all those years as a crew chief, if I didn't have that attitude, that probably was going to hinder our performance. I always look forward to every race, every track we would go to. But the short tracks, and, you know, we really only have three short tracks left on our schedule. We go twice a year to Martinsville, where we were a couple of weeks ago. Right. Bristol, where we're at this weekend, and then Richmond, where we go next weekend. The short tracks are so much fun. I enjoy the two road courses that we go to. We end up our Fox season in late June at Sonoma, out in Northern California, and then on the East Coast in August, we have Watkins Glen, and you can never go wrong with any of our four restrictor plate races, the two that we run at Daytona in February and back there in July, and, of course, Talladega, where we go here in about 3 weeks. We race there in the spring, and then we go there in the fall. That's probably some of the more highlighted venues. But I don't go to a single venue. There are areas that we enjoy going to more so than others. I look at how we kick our playoff up there in your territory at Chicagoland Speedway down in Joliet. It is a very cool half-mile racetrack.
Yep.
You can't go wrong going to any race, but I like the short tracks, the road courses, and the restricted plate tracks.
Yeah, you really get to see all of the, and it's so different, right, too, because, you know, whether it's the fan experience is different regardless of what region you go to. Granted, you know, the drivers, there's each one of those tracks is completely unique, so it's exciting to go to all of them, but make a point to get some. So, Larry, when you are here in Chicago, what do you do? Do you hit we've got a great food scene, you know that, you know, or we've got some other great sports that are happening, too. What do you do when you're in Chicago when you visit?
Well, I've got to say that the schedule we keep over the course of a race weekend, because, you know, my part of the broadcast schedule includes the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. If it moves with any of those two different series on the racetrack, I'm there. So, unfortunately, unless I go in early, as my wife and try to do each year when we go to Las Vegas and we try to go to Sonoma, some of the neater places that we go,
yep,
that my wife enjoys going to, it's kind of hard for me to venture too far away from that racetrack with the schedule that we keep. And you look at all the tracks that have lights now, and they have late qualifying sessions, or maybe we even have a night race. I feel like I'm at that racetrack before the sun comes up, and I'm still there after the sun goes down.
Well, I'll get you. Well, before that, and it isn't until September, we'll get Megan some suggestions for some places. We'll set up maybe a restaurant for you and your wife to, like, catch a great meal here in Chicago. So hopefully you can set aside a little bit of extra time. Last question, and been around for some of the greatest moments of NASCAR, iconic and legendary drivers, Davey Allison, of course, Dale Earnhardt. But as you're looking at now, this is one of the most exciting times in racing. People can talk a little bit about maybe the ratings and maybe the attendance being one way or the other, but I think with the change as far as the stage racing, and then just all of those efforts as racing has kind of expanded its pool of drivers, as from a crew chief perspective, like, what are you seeing as far as today's drivers and the differences as opposed to some of those great ones you worked with so much in the past?
Well, we know Jimmy Johnson, of course, one of our elder statesmen. He just won the race about a week and a half ago out of Texas Motor Speedway. But just some of the young talent that we have. I know a few years ago the question was being asked, who's going to replace some of our older drivers? It seemed to be a concern. But I look right now at drivers like Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott and Eric Jones and Ty Dillon and Daniel Suarez, and the list goes on and on and on. The biggest problem we have is, where are all these young drivers going to go to have a Monster Energy Cup Series ride?
Right.
It seems like that there is definitely a little bit of a changing of the guard right now. I mean, we know, you know, drivers like Kevin Harvick and Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr. We know they're always going to be competitive, but we're seeing a change in the guard. I look at this little Kyle Larson right now. In seven races this year, he has had five top two finishes. He's finished second four times. Of course, he won the race out at Auto Club Speedway. And the unique thing about our season so far, seven races, we have had six different winners from six different organizations. And it's maybe not unusual to have six different winners in the first seven races, but to know all the manufacturers have won and it's come from six completely different organizations, that's pretty big. And, of course, the one organization that has not found victory lane this year, an organization that won almost half of our races last year, is the Toyota camp from over there at Joe Gibbs Racing. That group seeming to struggle just a little bit here to start off 2017. But we know when we go to Bristol, especially Kyle Busch, who has won there five times, we know they'll very well could break that winless streak in 2017 up there at that half-mile track at Bristol.
Yeah, you know that they're going to pick it up eventually. The cream rises to the top, and they'll be there for sure. But like you said, though, these are exciting times. The parity is there. There's just so much more thought process on the strategy side, and it's just so much fun for the fans to check it out. I know that everybody's going to be excited on Sunday for the Food City 500 up there at Bristol and Larry McReynolds. You'll have some of the best seats in the house, as always, and be able to share all that information with us as well. So thanks so much for what you do. Thanks for taking time on the show today, and thanks for being on WGN.
No, I appreciate you having me, and I've got a little something new going on this year that I have thoroughly enjoyed. If you want some real inside week to week, I'm doing a podcast called Larry Mack, America's Crew Chief on podcast1.com.
Nice.
Every Thursday, there's a new episode that's downloaded at podcast1.com or subscribing to iTunes. It's totally free. I normally go for about an hour, and I really dive down deep into what's going on in our sport each and every week on Larry Mack, America's Crew Chief's podcast.
Larry Mack, America's Crew Chief podcast. And Larry, leave us with your social media too, Facebook or Twitter or other ways people can keep up with you.
Yeah, at Larry Mack 28, that's my Twitter handle, and I enjoy engaging with fans. And if you follow me on Twitter, at Larry Mack 28, I try to interact with the fans a lot during the race weekend when we're not on the air. It's a little tough when we're on the air, but also I keep you updated on the link and what's coming up on the new edition of the podcast on Podcast One.
Larry McReynolds, you enjoy him on Fox TV, Podcast One, America's Crew Chief. He is Larry McReynolds. Larry, thanks again so much for being on the show.
I appreciate you having me. We look forward to seeing you guys come September.